Would you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed, the Jeremiah passage just read to you is an expanded form, of course, of the Old Testament lesson for yesterday. An awesome piece of scripture, really. And Jeremiah came into the house of the Lord and stood in the court and fearlessly called the church to repentance. And the church was indignant. How dare you, Jeremiah, come into this very place, into this city, and have temerity to call us to repentance and compare us to Shiloh? Perhaps to get more of that message, you need to read a parallel account in Jeremiah 7, where he tells them exactly what he has in mind. He says, oh yes, you come to this place and you do all the right things. You do the sacrifices and you do everything according to the right form. And then you go outside of these walls and you commit adultery and you steal and you murder. Then just because you come in and do the right thing, you somehow believe that it is all well with the Lord. Unless you amend your sinful ways, God will destroy you and wipe you out as was Shiloh. But if you amend, the Lord will relent. You will be saved. What might this have to do with us today? God, through his prophet Jeremiah, is saying to us as well today, turn from your evil way. And I will relent. The danger is no less today for the church to get hung up on forms and ways and procedures and forget the essence of the church itself: repentance and forgiveness. Perhaps the temptation is even all the more present in a confessional church, where we can make confession itself the idol. And somehow, as long as the confession is there, then it makes no difference what happens outside the wall. Perhaps the danger is also there for a liturgical church who forgets that the liturgy is there to serve and is not an end in itself. It is there to keep law and gospel before our eyes. It is there to call us to repentance and to assure us of the blessedness of our forgiveness. And we don't need to look around too far to find our own Shilohs, where the church that has forgotten becomes the church forgotten. One does not even have to go too far from this place. One can look around at plaques and walls in this place and see that this was a place of another institution of some time ago. That is no more. My friends, it is a call to each of us as well to repent, to turn around. It's very easy to be generic when we talk this way, is it not? It is so easy for us to say, yes, I am a sinner. But don't tell me about any sins that I commit. We all admit to being generic sinners. But what about the hate for the brother that God equates as murder? The lust of the eye that God equates as adultery. And the sins of the tongue that kill off people's reputations. And the call to repentance and to turn around goes unheeded. My friends, to come into this place or to any other house of worship with repentance on our lips and continued intention in our hearts to go on sinning is no repentance at all. That, you see, was the sin in Jeremiah's time. They had no intention of turning around their ways. But this text is also an offer of redeeming grace to us this day. Even though we cannot cover our sins with good doctrine and good liturgy and good form and good outward show, yesterday's gospel, in which the Lord looked upon Jerusalem, including the Jerusalem of the church, and says, how oft would I have gathered you under my wings? That is an offer that he would gladly cover us with the wings of his blessed grace and mercy. Even though we can do nothing to cover up the shabbiness of our lives and our intentions, his blood and righteousness are our glorious dress. And it is in the understanding of that covering of his blessed mercy, that covering of that blood that he shed on the cross, that is where our understanding and believing then leads to response. A response that is not only a changed outward show, but a change which is in the heart. When covered by his righteousness, that changed heart then also leads to a changed life. I ask this day that we had two readings the one also from Hebrews 11. That father of faith and the faithful Abraham, who responded in his faith to the unknown. And Jeremiah, who knew when he preached in the courtyard, it was not going to sit very well. He knew his life would be on the line. And he did it anyway. Their eye was on the promise. Most of you sitting out there this day also have your eye on the future. Call service, some 6 weeks away for some of you, maybe a year and 6 weeks away for others of you, and varying times for the rest. And perhaps it doesn't stretch too much to say to you, you don't know where you're going either, just like Abraham, who was called out of his homeland and said, go. And he simply kept his eye on the promise. And Hebrews 11 tells us what that promise was. It wasn't just that someday his inheritance would be that land. For Abraham and his immediate descendants never owned that land. Their eye was on the promise land in which God himself was the architect and the foundations was in the Lord himself. And that's why I suggest that you must keep your eyes on that kingdom to come. And also for all of us, in a very real sense, we go through life not knowing where the end is in transition. But as the epistle lesson for yesterday told us, our citizenship is in heaven. It is in the faith of the blood of Calvary. It is in our baptism as we were brought into the family of those covered by the blood of Calvary that we gain citizenship in that kingdom whose architect is God himself, whose foundations are in the very Lord himself. And then this call of Jeremiah to us, repent. Repent. Amend your life. And we know we gain the power of that alone in the blood of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then we at this place keep our eyes fastened on that kingdom to come. For here we have no continuing city. The victory is ours. The kingdom has been won. And we have the power to live as citizens of that kingdom. Amen.